That. So our theme for next year, we've been talking about this word blessed all this year, and that was our theme for 2023. And we looked at this thought, being blessed, talking about how many people look at blessed and the idea that they're physically blessed with a lot of different things. And that's how most people, I'm blessed. But also we looked at it from a scriptural standpoint, talking about happy is the man or blessed is the man. And we looked at the Beatitudes, talked about where God, a spiritual blessing, and the type of life that God will bless. And then also we talked about how we're supposed to bless the Lord. So this year, we're going to talk about taking that blessing to others. So our theme for this year is found, is not actually exactly a Bible phrase. So it's found in the Bible in verse number 12, where the Bible says, "But I would ye should understand, brethren, that the things which happen unto me have fallen out rather unto the furtherance of the gospel." So the theme for this year is the phrase "for the furtherance of the gospel." So you got the furtherance of the gospel, but the idea of the word "for" is what our church itself, or what we've done individually for the furtherance of the gospel. So our goal is that we would take the gospel out to the rest of the world. Sometimes when we get busy and sometimes when we have other things going on in our lives or we don't want to do things that we're uncomfortable with, we miss the big picture of things. And what God has given us, he's given us command, he's given us commission to go into all the world and preach the gospel. And so this year we're going to focus on a lot of different things around the gospel, and many of our activities are going to have things to do with a gospel style outreach. We want to see people saved. And that's something that we should desire as a church family, and that's something we should desire individually, but also as a church family. And it's not just to see our church grow numerically, but more important, to answer God's call for our lives. And that is to tell other people about the gospel of Jesus Christ. So I'm excited about that. And we'll have a new theme song at the beginning of the afternoon service. We even have a closing theme song. And that's not till next week. So we're going to kind of introduce the things little by little and get you used to it. And we're going to be talking about a lot of different things about being ready to present the gospel, how to present the gospel, all those different times. So for the next 12 months, we'll see these phrases for the furtherance of the gospel. We want to see the gospel. We want to see the gospel go out there further with the message of the gospel. And what are we doing to make that happen for the furtherance of the gospel? So today in Philippians chapter 1, we're going to look at our theme verse for the year. It's found in verse number 27. We're going to look at a couple different things, and we're going to actually focus on a phrase found in verse 27. I know it's not the actual theme, and we will come along with that as the weeks go along, but if we're going to further the gospel, you know what's going to happen is we're going to have to be right with the Lord, and we're also going to have to be representing the Lord with the right type of testimony. So when you see here in verse number 27, the Bible says, "Only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ, that whether I come and see you or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs, that you stand fast in one spirit with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel." Let's have a word of prayer and ask God's help today. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I pray you help the service today. Lord, I pray that each and every person has a heart that is right with you, a heart that is interested in hearing what you have to say. And Lord, for anyone in this room that does not know what the gospel is or never personally have believed on you and put their faith and trust in you, Lord, I pray today through the preaching and teaching of your word, Lord, they'll understand their need, they'll see their need, and Lord, they'll return to you. And Lord, for others that may be in this room that say they're on their way to heaven, that their hearts aren't right, Lord, they'll understand the purpose of wanting to spread the gospel and for the furtherance of the gospel. And Lord, that you would encourage each of us. Now, sometimes people say they get tired of hearing the gospel preached, but Lord, that our hearts would be convicted once again, that we would understand what we have in you, what we understand what the gospel has done for us and the change it's supposed to make in our lives. And Lord, that we would see as it becometh the gospel of Christ, that we would live lives that would demonstrate there's been a change in our life. And that we would live lives that would want to attract people to you and the idea that they see a difference in a Christian's life. Lord, would you help us as we consider in 2024, Lord, that we would bring people to Christ for the furtherance of the gospel. Lord, help us this morning. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So if I asked you what the word gospel mean, what would you say? And I know you can't all call out, but many people would say that word gospel means good news. And literally, that's what it means. It's good news. We had the good news in a world that's full of bad news. But not only that, if you think about it from a specific or a scriptural definition or a strict definition, it's found in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 1 through 3. The Bible says, "Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also you have received, and wherein ye stand, by which also ye are saved. If you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you have believed in vain. For I deliver unto you, first of all, that which I also received, how Christ died for our sins according to the scripture. Not only did he die, he was buried and he rose again," which is in verse number 4. So the gospel is that according to the scriptures, according to God's plan, according to before the foundation of the world, this was the plan, that Jesus, God, would become man, and that he would live a perfect sinless life, that he would die on the cross, that he would be buried, and that he would rise again, according to scriptures. It didn't take anybody by surprise. This is exactly what was planned out, as I mentioned, before the beginning, before the foundation of the world. But in that verse, it says, "Also you are saved." That means that you have put your faith and trust in the Bible way of how to go to heaven. There's only one way to heaven. The Bible says, Jesus himself said, "I am the way, the truth, and life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." Sometimes people put it in their good works. Sometimes, and I didn't hear this up north, but when I'm down south, when I knock on doors, I hear all the time, "Oh, my dad's a Christian," or "my mom's a Christian," or I've heard this often, "my granddaddy was a preacher," or "my great-granddaddy was," you know, and they have their faith and trust in other people or other things, and "I hope so" type salvation. You're not saved with a "hope so" type salvation. The Bible says that you're saved, and it's talking about when a person puts their faith and trust in Jesus Christ, understanding that they're a sinner in need of a Savior, and that God convicts their heart of their sin, and they repent of their sins, and they place their faith and trust in what Jesus Christ did on that cross when he died for us. But not just when he died, but also when he was buried and rose victoriously. That's the message that God works through. And as we're going to see, that's the gospel message. So our theme for this year, found here in verse number 27, there's some different interesting phrases I'd like for you to look at. And this morning, if you were going to take an outline, and once again, we're going to be coming back to these. This is kind of more of an introduction type message. But it's found, the first point would be found in verse 27. Look what it says, "Only let your conversation." Now, when you think about the word conversation, most people will think of it as a physical talking back and forth. And that's the day and time that we live in. But this word here specifically is not only talking about our speech, but more is speaking about our manner of life. Talking about the way you lived your life. So only let your conversation, the way that you live your life, be as it becometh the gospel of Christ. Now that idea of becometh, what does that mean? It means it's compliments. You ever have, when someone's there and maybe, I know guys don't go around and say to other guys, "Hey, that shirt's very becoming of you." But sometimes you'll hear a lady might say, "Oh, that color suits you. It compliments you. It's something that's there." You know, sometimes it's, does that flatter that person type thing? You know, I know most husbands hate it when their wives look at them and say, "Does this make me look fat?" And you're like, "What are you supposed to say?" You know, of course not. But it's the idea, does it become you? Is it something that's flattering towards you? Is it something that compliments you? And that's what it's talking about here when it says, becometh the gospel of Christ. It's saying that it's something that complements what happened in your life. You're living a life that shows that God's made a difference. Becometh the gospel. The Bible says that when you become a believer, when you get saved, you become a new creature. Your life should change. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And if we would consider what the Bible is saying here, is that the way that we live our lives after becoming a believer is just something that will complement the gospel. Compliment the change that's been made in your life. Let's keep on going. That whether I come and see you, and Paul is speaking to the church of Philippi, and he's saying, look, whether I'm there or I'm not there, you're still the same way. And then it says, or else be absent. And he says that I may hear of your affairs, how you live your life, their conversation, that you stand fast. And he's saying that it's not something you're slipping about. It's something that you're settled on, that you stand fast in one spirit with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. And that's what's speaking there, is one spirit, one mind. There's a unity that's supposed to be a part. As a church, it's something that we should want to work together to be able to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ. And we're going to look at the Church of Ephesus in the book of Acts and how God used that as kind of like a beachfront and the idea, or a beachhead, and the idea that they sent out so many people. And that's what we should desire to be. We should come here and we should get understanding what the truths are. And then what should we do? We should take that into the other areas of our life. And that's what our desire is. That's what my desire is for 2024, that we be focused on hearing and understanding the gospel, letting the gospel change our lives. And as we let the gospel change our lives, that we would go out and tell other people about the gospel of Jesus Christ. So if you're looking for an outline, the first point would be for the faith of the gospel, for the faith of the gospel in verse 27. Do you believe in the gospel? Do you believe the gospel works? It does. It changed your life. If you're here this morning and you're saved and on your way to heaven, there was a moment in time in your life when you understood that you were a sinner, and you understood that that sin is something that will cause you to be eternally separated from God in a horrible place called hell. And that because of that sin, there is a wage to pay, and that's eternal separation from God. But that God loved us so much that He proved, He showed, He demonstrated, He commended our love toward us. That while we were yet sinners, while we were lost, that Christ died for us. If you truly are born again today, God's made a change and difference in your life. And it's an understanding that's there, that it's a faith of the gospel. Now, once a person's a believer and a Christian, do you believe the gospel works? If it changed your life, it can change someone else's. So the faith, having faith and trust in what God does, it gives the idea that it's not stagnant. It's always advancing. The faith of the gospel is this idea that I'm going to continue going forward. And so many times people sit back and they don't do anything, and they sit in their pews and they don't tell anybody about Jesus Christ. And sometimes it's because they don't care, but oftentimes it's because they stop trusting in it. They thought, well, I've told somebody else, it's not going to work. Did you receive the gospel the first time when you believed, when you heard the story? A few have, but most haven't. Most has to hear it over and over and over again. I believe that I was saved as a 9-year-old boy at Baptist Bible Church, and I had gone to church my entire life. I had heard the gospel time and time and time and time again, but it wasn't until that day, that I, first time in my life, at least that I remember, I was convicted of my sin, and I understood I was a sinner and that I needed to be saved. The faith of the gospel. Hudson Taylor put it this way. He said that God is always advancing. If you're going to live a life of faith, you're going to advance also. And that's the idea of the furtherance. You're going to advance. You're going to want to further the gospel. It's something that's going to continue. If you truly believe that the gospel can save people, what we should do is say, what can we do to further the gospel? It's by having faith in the gospel. The second thing I want you to think about is when it says here that you stand fast in one spirit with one mind striving together, it's the fellowship of the gospel. And that's found in verse number 5. The fellowship of the gospel. In verse number 5, the Bible says, for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now. Paul is writing to this church in Philippi and saying, look, you need to work together. And it's not the idea, and this morning we're having chili here in a little while. You know, there's, I think, 8 different people, maybe 9 different people signed up to bring chili. And so they had to cooperate a certain time together, and they had to have the same mindset. Okay, it needs to be here, it needs to be ready, it needs, you know, all these different things that had to happen. All these things had to happen. Somebody had to set the chairs up, somebody had to set the tables up, somebody had to clean the things. There was people here this morning, bright and early. They were making the different sliders, and a teenager made breakfast for other teenagers. Hopefully none of them got sick. All these different things that happened, that they work together of one mind, one unity. They're standing fast. And it's wonderful that all these things are happening. But what does the scripture say we're supposed to do that for? It says here that he says, I may hear of your fears that you stand fast in one spirit with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. There's a purpose that we're supposed to be striving together and working together for the faith of the gospel. And that means there's a fellowship there. That as a church, it should be our heart's desire that we would want to see people saved. And that's my burden this year, is because I feel like as a church, we've lost track sometimes of that. We do a lot of things well. I think we have a lot of wonderful programs. I think we have a lot of wonderful teachers. I love our men's prayer meeting. I love a lot of different activities and programs that go along together. But have we lost sight of the main thing? which is the gospel of Jesus Christ. And how can we further that? What is it that we can do? Or what is it have we done today for the furtherance of the gospel? Each week, I like for us to just look at our lives and go back and say, what did I do last week for the furtherance of the gospel? What did I do last month for the furtherance of the gospel? And I'm ashamed of thinking and hearing that there's been times in my life that I could look back and say, in the last week, I haven't told anybody about Jesus Christ. And I would venture to say there's probably people in this room that has, in this whole past year, has never presented the gospel to another individual. And that's something we should work on. And that's why we should focus on what can I do to further the gospel of Jesus Christ, for the furtherance of the gospel. So you see here, you see the faith of the gospel in verse number 27. You see the fellowship of the gospel in verse number 5. But then you also see in verse number 12, the furtherance of the gospel. The furthering of the gospel is what every believer should do in every place, in every circumstance. You say, what's the big deal? What are you saying here? Well, look what it says in verse number 12 and 13. It says, for I would that you should understand, brethren, that the things which happened unto me have fallen out rather unto the furtherance of the gospel, so that my bonds in Christ are manifest in all the palace and all the other places. Now, who's writing this? It's the Apostle Paul. Where is he writing it at? He's writing in jail. And as he's writing in jail, he's saying this. Sometimes we get worked up when bad things happen to us. Sometimes we get to a spot and say, well, I'm not serving God anymore, or God can't use me here, and this and that. Paul is sitting in jail here, and what he is literally saying is that all these things have happened to me. Now, the church of Philippi, they love Paul. They probably feel sorrowful for Paul. Paul sitting in jail. Of course, if there's somebody that's being persecuted for their faith, we want to pray for them. And many times we'll feel sorrowful for them. But Paul looks at it from a different perspective. Paul's looking at it from the perspective here. He says, that happened unto me, fallen out rather unto the furtherance of the gospel. He's saying, all these things that have happened unto me, they've happened unto me for a reason, so that way I can further the gospel. You think about it. He's saying here, even he talks about here in verse number 13, he says, so that my bonds in Christ are manifest in all the palace and all other places. Most would believe that he's there. He's in Rome, and that in the palace is referring to Caesar's palace. If Paul went and knocked on Caesar's palace's door, are they going to let him in? They're not going to let him in. You know, how many times do we knock on doors and encourage people to come? You know, they're not going to let him in the palace to go preach the gospel. But when he's gotten arrested and he's sitting in prison, he's saying that his testimony, his message is being manifested. And it's not just being manifested in just the prison. It's saying that it's being manifested in the palace. Think about this. This is beautiful how the fact that he has been arrested, and now because of his testimony and because of his message, people are getting saved inside the palace. People of Caesar's own household are being saved, as we see in other people places in scripture. That wouldn't happen unless it was unto the furtherance of the gospel. And Paul's saying, I see it this way, that God has allowed this to happen unto me, and the reason why he's allowed this to happen so I can take the gospel to a new place and a new situation, a new opportunity, a new this, a new that, is for every believer and every Christian, every circumstance and every place, that he's furthering the gospel. It's a providential type of furthering. Now, there are things in my life that I wouldn't have chosen. There's places that maybe God has taken you and placed you somewhere. I've heard over the years, I enjoy Elizabeth City. I've heard over the years, especially sometimes when young people grow up here and they're maybe hit their 20s and 30s, there's not much to do around here, and they hate Elizabeth City. They're ready to get going. But I guess God put my heart here, so I'm thankful for being here, and it's great. But wherever the Lord leads you, there's a purpose and there's a plan. And that's why in Sunday school class, we talked about, if you're going to consider making changes for 2024, you better talk to the Lord first. And we looked at James chapter number 4, talk about how our life is a vapor and how you shouldn't be saying, I'm going to do this, this, and this, until you talk to the Lord and let the Lord tell you that you should do this, this, and this. And it's important to understand that the things that God allows in our lives, he's doing it for a reason. He's divinely ordering our events and circumstances. He's causing us to have divine appointments. And the idea that we can see people. Paul is sitting in the prison cell and he literally saying, everything that's happened unto me is for the furtherance of the gospel. Have you ever wondered why God has you where he does? You ever wonder why God's putting you at a certain job? Maybe a certain neighbor, maybe in a certain club, maybe even in a certain church. Is there a reason and a purpose for that? Paul is saying that all of these things have happened to me, and there was a lot of bad things that happened unto Paul. He said it was unto the furtherance of the gospel. And I want to encourage you today, God wants the gospel to get into all these different places and all these different areas, and many times God will allow certain things to happen. And as Paul said, this is where God has me. I'm going to present the gospel. He starts right where he's at. He doesn't say, when I get out of jail, then I'm going to start telling people. And so many times we do that. Well, when I get to a certain spot, or when I know enough Bible verses, or when I get to a new job, or when I have new friends, or when I get to a new church, all those different things, then I'll tell the gospel. Paul starts it right there. He says, all these bad things have happened unto me. There's a reason. There's a purpose. It's for the furtherance of the gospel. You think about it. He's sitting in the prison cell. In the prison cell, we have how many books of the Bible that he wrote? I mean, what a blessing to us. I mean, I can imagine a church of Philippi, oh, Paul's in jail. The gospel's not going to go any farther, and they're not going to start any more churches. And they start worrying and start getting, but we have how many books of the Bible when he was sitting in prison? What a blessing to us. I mean, God knew what he was doing, right? God knows what he's doing. He's trying to further the gospel. And so many times we fight against it. What we need to make sure is our heart is right. And as our heart is right, just make yourself willing and available to whatever he desires, and let God use us to be a gospel witness. And if something happens in our life, we look at it and say, I might not understand what's happening. Would Paul rather have been on his missionary journey? Would Paul rather have had number 4, number 5, and started more churches? We don't know Paul's heart. But Paul is saying, hey, look, if this is where God has me, this is where I'm going to serve. And from this moment, all these things that happen, I'm going to preach the gospel right where I'm at. Now, inside of being a good gospel witness, we're going to learn throughout the year there's different things that are needed. One of the things is that our heart be right and clean. But based off of our theme verse in verse number 27, I'd like to focus for just a few moments on this idea. Only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ, the way that we live our lives. It's talking about a proper conduct, something that complements, as we mentioned earlier, something that looks good. It's talking about our conversation should be that's what's becoming of Christ. Our business dealings, our language, our attitudes should reflect a proper Christian conduct, born out of biblical convictions. As I mentioned before, I was thankful for my parents are here today. I'm thankful for that. And my sister and my nieces are here. And I'm thankful for that they were able to come. But I was in church in my whole life. And I tell people 9 months before I was born. I'm thankful for that. And you know what? I've been around church. And as I've been around church, I've seen lots of people that are been spirit-filled and have a great testimony for the Lord. But I've seen a lot of people in churches, too, that do not have a testimony or a conversation that acts like they should. And that's the challenge that we need to be careful with. If we're going to truly do something for the furtherance of the gospel, our hearts need to be right. We need to present a picture, and I'm not talking about something that's fake. I'm not talking about being hypocritical. I mean, a few weeks ago, I was that old man that was yelling at Lillian in the play. That's not me. Well, I might be old, and I might yell sometimes, but that's not the type of testimony that you want to give. And if you've been around church enough, you know there's some people that do not behave properly in church. And it's something that they're not going to further the gospel with working the flesh, the works of the flesh, and the spirit of the flesh. They have to understand that my testimony is important, the way I live my life is important. And if I want to do something that's going to help further the gospel, I need to get things right in my heart, because if I don't get things right in my heart, the works of the flesh is going to come up, and it's going to continue, and the anger and the bitterness and the frustrations are all going to show. And then you're going to have people out there that are not acting Christ-like, but they're saying, oh, I'm a Christian. Oh, I want to do this. And we've seen people, like I said, I've been in church for 50 years, and for the most part, probably 95% of the time, I've been going to church 4 times a week, over and over, and there's been a many people, and probably even myself sometimes, that was not representing the gospel of Jesus Christ properly. And that's what we should pray for and say, God, I want to be used this year to be a gospel witness. I want to be used this year to further the gospel of Christ. This is what I desire. And if it means that I'm not being a good representative of what Jesus Christ is and what he's changed in my life, then God, would you change me to do that? Would you help me to show that and demonstrate that people would see Christ in me, that they would see Christ in my life, and that they would see Christ working through me, and that they would look past me and they would see Christ living through me. And I mean, it's a wonderful thought. That's what it's talking about, becometh the gospel of Christ. So that's the challenge that's there. Do we live a life that represents the change that God's made? There's many different illustrations in the Bible that talks about how we've gone from darkness to light, and there's been change, a new creature, old things are passed away. It talks about the great change that happens when a person becomes a believer, and it's saying that it's something that should show and something that should work. You know, the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, the joy, all those different things are things that are becoming of the gospel of Jesus Christ. There are things that are attractive to the gospel of Jesus Christ. There's something that complements the gospel of Christ. And over, if we would live the way that we say we believe, I think it would change the world. If we would live the way that we say we believe, we say, I think we should be Spirit-filled. The only way you're going to be Spirit-filled is if you're seeking the Lord. If you're truly, if He's number one in your life, and He's the one that is manifesting Himself in your life, and He is ruling supreme, and you have literally given your heart and life over Him, that's when He's willing to take over and take control. But so many people, well, I think we should be Spirit-filled, and I think we should do this. I think we should be kind to the world. I think we should preach the gospel. But then their lives do not reflect that. And that's when the person doesn't become of the gospel of Christ. They become of what they think the gospel should look like. And they begin to dictate, oh, this is what it means. And this is what it shows like. And they can have all the great standards in the world, but their heart is far away from God. That's a challenge. And I've seen people over the years like that. And there's challenges for that. And I don't want to be that person. Yes, I want to have holy standards because that's what the Bible teaches. But I want to have a heart that dictates that it's becoming of the gospel of Christ. I want to be something that the doctrines of God is something that we should ordinate. It's something that we should be willing to not look miserable about, but instead something we should dress up. William Carey is a man known as the pioneer of modern missions. I don't know who gave him that title, but somebody gave him that title. It talked about, and there was a message he preached in 1792. It was a message found in Isaiah 54:2. It says, enlarge the place of thy tent, and let them stretch forth the curtains of thine habitations. Spare not, lengthen thy cords and strengthen thy stakes. What he did in that message back in 1792, he challenged the hearers to lengthen the cords, to carry the gospel to the lost, to evangelize the world. When he finished the sermon, there was nothing. He said there was no response. There was no amen. There was no stirring, no application among the people. And so they closed the service, and it says that people rose up quietly, and they left the auditorium. Carey was burdened by his message, had a passion for the gospel. He was consumed by his message. He rushes off the platform. He says he grabs the hand of another preacher for the meeting, and he says these words, are we not going to do something? He was referring to the gospel. Are we not going to do something? And he's looking at that man and that preacher and saying, aren't we going to do something? And that's why I would like to ask you this year, as a church, are we not going to do something to reach the gospel, to reach people with the gospel? You say, of course we are. We do it every year. Do you? Yes, I know we have messages. We have preaching. We put the gospel out there. I know we do have times that we go out and visit. I know we do have times when we hand things on the door. But what have you done to further the gospel of Jesus Christ? If we all truly believe there is a hell, and we all truly believe that people do not know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, is headed to that place for all of eternity, are we not going to do something? Are we just going to sit idly by and let people go for the furtherance of the gospel? Are we going to do something? I pray that God will help us to say, I want to live a life that becometh the gospel of Christ. Why? It's for the faith of the gospel. It's not for a person. It's not for a position. It's not for political things. It's not to look right in somebody else's eye. It's not because my family did it. It's not because my parents did it. It's because it's for the faith of the gospel, because I want to further the gospel of Jesus Christ. I want to be right with God so I can make a difference in someone's heart, in someone's life. In the last month, I've seen a couple of things happen, tragic things happen, and different people's lives, and even things that affected my life. And it's like, And the first thing that goes to my heart, and different people look at different things different ways. I guess I'm a softie in some ways, hard in other things, I'm sure. But the thing that I always look at, my first response is, most of the time, I'm not perfect. I probably lean a little bit too much to being compassionate, but I'm thinking, I want to help that person. That there's someone who is sick or someone who is dying or someone that's going through a tragedy. And some people are like, oh, that's just the way things are. Or I wonder what sin they did. Or it's not becoming of the gospel. But what normally happens in my heart and mind, especially someone who's close to me, I say in my mind, Lord, I want to help that person. Show me how to help that person. And oftentimes it's praying. Sometimes it's doing something or another. But the Lord often reminds me is the only way you're ever going to be a help to someone that's going through a tragedy is when you're right with the Lord. And that spurs me to want to be right with him. That I should want to serve him because he's God, he's Lord, and he is reign supreme. It's not my life. I've been bought with a price. I understand all those things. I get all that. But when I want to help somebody in this because I've allowed sin to affect my heart, infect my life to where I can't make a difference in someone's life, I miss the point why the Lord has left me here to serve him. And so when I hear about something that's hard and something that's tough, my heart bounces off and says, I want to make a difference in that person. I want to help sometimes. And you're like, how can you know how to help? Sometimes you don't know. You don't know how to help. That's why you need to be surrendered to the Lord and let the Lord lead and guide your paths. And all thy ways acknowledge him. And he will direct thy paths. He'll show you what he wants you to do. Sometimes it is silent. Sometimes it is going and helping. Sometimes it is just praying. I understand all those things. But if we really, truly want to make a difference in this world, we're going to have to look and act like people that has becometh of the gospel of Christ. We're going to look like God made a difference in our hearts and our lives. And we're going to have to determine, I'm not going to have somebody ask me, are we not going to do something? Instead, I'm going to say, I am going to do something. And whatever that is, I'm going to make sure, first and foremost, that I'm going to live a life that shows a proper testimony of an individual that's been born again and has been changed by the grace of God. And that when God gives me the opportunity to spread the gospel, whether it's in the prison cell or whether it's in a difficult time or a good time, that wherever I'm at, I'm going to want to further the gospel of Jesus Christ. This morning, if you're hearing, say, Pastor, I'm not sure if I'm saved, I'm not sure if I'm on my way to heaven. You have much to be concerned about, much to be worried about, because the Bible does not paint a very pretty picture of a person who is lost and dies without Christ. That's the whole point of the message this morning, is that we need to carry that out. This morning, you can turn to the Lord. You can put your faith and trust in him. The Bible says that you can know that you have eternal life. And for us that are believers, the question is, are we not going to do something? Are we just going to idly by and let another day go by, another year go by? We're not going to let another year go by without at least hearing about it, because you're going to hear about it on a regular basis. I remember when I was the assistant pastor, my wife, I love asking my wife sometimes about my preaching and things like that, especially then. And then I only got to preach once a month. And then she told me one year after I asked her what she thought, she says, all you ever preach about is soul winning. And I was like, and that's what you're going to hear about this year, is reaching people with the gospel of Jesus Christ. And you know what's sad? Some people don't like that. Some people don't see the need of it. Now, once again, we're still going to teach biblical things because the soul winning is biblical. But at the same time, it is something that's going to happen on a regular basis. But we're going to teach the Bible. We're going to continue to go through the Gospel of Mark. We're going to continue on a couple other series. I'm excited about all the different things God has planned for 2024. I want to show you those things. But the question I really want to ask, and the question I want to know, is God prick someone's heart and say, are we going to do something this year when it comes to the gospel of Jesus Christ? Are we going to further it? Or are we going to remain silent? And I am thankful for every gospel witness and every gospel effort that has gone out of this church over the last almost 50 years. But let us not live in the last 50 years. Instead, let us have the faith of the gospel you see at the end of verse 27, because faith is always moving more forward. I believe God can make a difference with the gospel. I believe God can make a difference with us using the gospel. He wouldn't have called us to go. But are we going to do something? Are we going to do anything this year when it comes to further the gospel of Jesus Christ? I encourage you this morning during the invitation time, whether at your seat or even preferably at the altar, that you would say, this year, I want to do more to further the gospel of Jesus Christ than I ever have before. And God, whatever it is you want me to do, I'm willing to do. And if in some way, shape, or form, the way I live my life is not reflecting the change that God made in me, God, would you reveal that to me and help me to get that out of my life? Because I want my testimony to be, as it says in verse 27, only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ. I want to show this world the change that God's made in my life when he saved me. You say, if you're here, you don't know Christ as your Savior, I'd love to have somebody take a Bible and show you how you can be saved. We have an invitation time in just a minute. Come forward. I will meet you down by the altar. And I'll have, if you're a man, I'll have a man take you to the back and take you to a room and take you as long as you want to explain to you the gospel of Jesus Christ. If you're a lady, I have the same thing. We'd love to have somebody just show you how you can be saved on your way to heaven. This morning, are we going to do anything? The world needs us to. We've been commanded to do, but are we going to do something to further the gospel of Jesus Christ? Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you for today.